The NFL season is finally here, so make sure you're ready with NFL Sunday Ticket and YouTube TV. It gives you the most live NFL games all in one place, exactly what you need to make your Sundays more magical. Sign up today at youtube.com/Sunday Ticket. Local and national games on YouTube TV. NFL Sunday Ticket for out-of-market games excludes digital-only games.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
8 days we're going to Kansas City. 9 days the season kicks off. 12 days is when week one hits.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Justin Herbert, the guy is just a beast.
Welcome to Los Angeles and back to the National Football League, Jim.
Earlier on the show, NFL rules analyst Walt Anderson, Fox Sports college football insider Bruce Feldman. Still to come, Underdog Fantasy senior NFL reporter James Palmer. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, baby, hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. If you missed the first 2 hours, here's what you missed. Walt Anderson, the NFL officiating and rules analyst. He was the head of NFL refs the last few years, last four seasons, and the NFL said, you know what? We need you to explain stuff to fans and broadcasters and everybody. And he came on and broke down what's going to go down, what he thinks is going to go down with the new kickoff rule. Replay Assist is going to chime in on helping pick up flags on roughing the passer. If they say a helmet's been contacted and you don't go under the hood and say that didn't happen, they're going to pick a flag up. There's so much more that you may have missed there. Bruce Feldman came and talked college football. We broke down the NFC South. We gave those predictions. And our neighbors across the way, Hasbro, is moving everything from Monopoly to Twister into the building.
Crazy.
So if you hear any beeping, Del Tufo's trying to work the faders to make sure you didn't hear that.
Some Legos,
there's construction
too.
Going on.
Oh, Legos. I heard the guys out there today talking about Legos.
They were just bringing them in right there.
Wow.
Is that forklift made of Lego?
I don't know.
That would be really weird. Jay Glazer reported, and then the Steelers confirmed on their Twitter account, Russell Wilson's the new starting quarterback. And guess who's going to join us in 18 minutes' time? The head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Mike Tomlin. We've been trying to get him for a while, and he agreed to appear on the program, and then that news broke. I was like, how do I get information out of a man who doesn't want to announce something? And they did it, and that's called stepping in it, and he's going to be joining us in about 18 minutes' time to hopefully put a few more meat on the bones.
I'll rain down my judgment and we'll move forward.
Yes, that's correct. We got all those drops.
I love Tomlin.
The Tomlin drops have overcome.
Now, one of the things I love about this business is getting to meet people throughout your entire career and getting to hang with them and become colleagues with them and maybe spend some quality time with them. And when circumstances occur and you're no longer their colleague because management decides to make a move, that doesn't mean we don't talk anymore. And certainly when they land in a new spot, loved congratulating them and supporting them.
Yeah.
Even if his hair makes me feel less than.
Ooh.
And joining us now, senior sports reporter for Underdog Fantasy, my colleague and friend from the NFL Media Group all those days, James Palmer on the program. How are you doing, James? Good to see you.
I'm good, Rich. With the comment on the hair before you introduced me, it just felt like old times right there.
It
felt like the last decade right there.
Well, I mean, if it really did, then we could treat this like it's a late November, and I'm just tossing to you to see how you can handle that, Mr. Mr. Scarlet and Gray, James.
Not true. Yeah, those were always the interesting Sundays. Those were the interesting Sundays. The one in Indianapolis was the worst. Because I went to Indianapolis with such confidence, I left before the game started.
Yes.
I packed only a scarlet and gray tie.
That's right.
That was it.
And you wore it.
And then we lost, and I think I got it for the duration of the show every time we went to Indianapolis. And I begrudgingly was putting the tie on, going like, Rich is going to have a field day with this thing.
You try to go open neck, and they're like, nope, you can't go open neck. You got to wear the tie.
Yeah.
Hey, man, congrats on the gig. Tell everybody what
Thank you.
Is. What do you got?
It's awesome, Rich. I think there's something really cool happening over there. And I had a chance to hang out with everybody actually on Monday we were all in California, Santa Monica, having some dinner, and Colt McCoy and Jay Gruden, A.Q. Shipley, and, you know, Justin Pugh, and you know, the guys from the Around the NFL podcast, and Dan Hanzus and Mark Zesser, and now if he'd the call there, just all of us kind of talking ball and what we want to do in terms of jumping on each other's shows. And Steve Smith and I are going to have a show there. And I don't know if there's many people that I've come across that I enjoy talking ball with more than Steve. It was like whenever we came into the same city, we'd probably stand in the lobby if we were checking in at the same time, talking for like, Rich, I don't know, an hour, hour and a half before we even checked into our rooms, just because it was, wait, where have you been? I've been here. I've talked to this guy. What are you doing? And we just love talking ball with him. So that's going to be a blast to, for him and I and to have a show weekly to hopefully inform some fans, you know, what he sees and then what I've heard around the league. I just still, you know, want to still travel around the league, get a chance to do that and do what, you know, I gained from NFL Network for 10 years, like use all of that from going to every facility, every stadium, and living on the road. And I think having a second family in Kansas City for several years with Patrick Mahomes. So it'll be fun to take all of that and take it to Underdog and try to inform some fans on another platform. It's going to be a blast.
Did Belichick pick up the check in absentia or no, what?
You know, for that one? The funny thing is I kept looking around for Bill and I did not see him.
Nice.
But you know what? My co-host wasn't there either. Steve was on the golf course somewhere, I think. So,
I love it.
Yeah. So, you know, we wanted to get a cardboard cut out of Steve there for to sit next to me. But, you know, I was solo for a moment, but I won't be during the season.
Well, again, Underdog Fantasy is where you can find James Palmer, who's here on the Rich Eisen Show. So what you had a front row seat, certainly in Denver last year, for what happened with Russell Wilson. Just moments ago, he was named the starting quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. What went wrong for Russ last year that can inform us about his opportunity for success in this new spot, James?
Well, so much of in this league, Rich, is about fit, and it just didn't fit. It didn't fit from what Sean was asking of him to what probably Russ's skill set is. And there's been something that's gone on during this training camp, honestly, from Sean Payton on a pretty semi-regular basis that kind of hints at that repeatedly. It's he says over and over again, sacks are on the quarterback, in his opinion. And that was a big issue in Denver. The number of sacks that Russell Wilson took, I think there was only like two or three guys that took more sacks last year, maybe fourth, than Russell Wilson. That was a big issue in how this offense was being played and how it was schemed and how quickly, you know, he wants the ball out of the quarterback's hands and how he wants the quarterback to play the position. We saw a difference in Russ from the year before, which was just atrocious. And we did see, you know, a difference in him in the right direction, but it just really didn't fit from what, you know, Sean wanted to do. You see what he has in Bo Nix. That checks all the boxes, in my opinion, of what Sean's looking for in a quarterback. It was kind of, you know, Sean did take the job, but an arranged marriage in some sense. And fit was number one. And Sean was looking to move on from it. And we'll see if it fits in Pittsburgh. It's going to be an interesting one. I think week one, name the starter. I think more interesting will be end of the year. Who do we have as the quarterback in Pittsburgh? I'm looking to keep an eye on that.
Well, and again, that is the ultimate question. And because Russ wasn't the starter by the end of the year in Denver last year. Yeah. And again, the question is it diminishing skills or is it fit? And that's going to be the ultimate question here that I'm wondering, you're already nodding your head like you may have an answer to that. I mean, Nobody has the answer until we actually see snaps, right? But I'll give you the floor.
Exactly.
Here.
Yeah. And, you know, I've talked to some people around the league about, you know, this competition, and I was hearing from more than one person, like, I think it might be time to start catering this offense to Justin Fields. And it was brought up to me by some people that know Arthur really, really well. It was, you know, you could go take all the stuff he ran with Marcus Mariota and just reinsert that back into the playbook.
Right.
All the stuff that uses Justin Fields as, and we can call him this, I think, an elite runner, honestly, with the football in his hands, with the size and the speed and the ability to run the football. And can you lean on that? And some people around the league are like, you do that, you run the football well, you have a really good defense, you limit the time that, you know, other offenses are on the field, Rich, and you have maybe something, because these are two pretty similar quarterbacks in their strengths and in their weaknesses. The one thing that set Russ apart from Justin Fields, we could all agree on, is that magic in the fourth quarter that he just has the ability. We saw it actually in Denver this past year, the way he was able to make plays in the fourth quarter. But that's the thing we're keeping our eye on the most. Is that magic still there? Because I do think we all believe that's somewhat diminishing. If that magic's still there, that's the separating factor, really, between the two of them, because they have a lot of the same flaws.
Also, the issue is that, you know, if Russ is going to become a backup quarterback, you got to give him the opportunity to turn himself into that, as opposed to you saying, you know, things are somewhat equal here. We're going to go with the kid. And then Russ suddenly has an earbud after you gave him, you know, ownership of the team, right, as a leader in the locker room and things of that nature. This way, you give him full ownership. You let him do the Russ thing, the leadership thing, and let him try and play up from there. And maybe you sprinkle in a little bit of Justin Fields, and that's the way you go. And if it doesn't go that way, you can. It's better to hand the offense over to Justin Fields midseason rather than the other way around.
Exactly. You know? I think the part of Mike Tomlin, you know, addressing the media, Rich, was when he said this was a really difficult decision. So it wasn't like he came out, and you see this in some of the other competitions. It's we're naming Russell Wilson the starter. It's because he did. It's a difficult decision. So I think what you're saying is exactly right. It's easier to make the switch if this is the layout than if it was reversed.
So James Palmer here, Underdog Fantasies. James Palmer, get used to it, James. Hey, man, took me a while to talk about NFL Network's Rich Eisen, you know, 22 years ago. James Palmer here on the Rich Eisen Show. So what's your take on the Chiefs and their ability to three-peat here, having had a front-row seat to all of that? Because it sure as hell looks like they've got one of the best three-peat chances in any sport ever. Right now
they do, and you're right. I had a front row seat last year, and last year was the down year. It was, we don't have a whole lot of receivers. I remember talking to Brett Veach at the combine, and it was Kadarius Toney's going to be our number one. Let's go. And they thought that they were going to unleash some things that we've never seen from Kadarius Toney and, you know, in the NFL. And we saw what ended up happening in that season, the emergence of Rashee Rice, Pat's just kind of struggling to trust certain receivers. And that was a big part of the offensive struggles, and they still win it. And so I think the offense is going to be better this year, Rich. Honestly, talking to people there, they now have the ability in their mind that they've lacked speed the last two seasons, really. And that's the way they've looked at it. And they go and get Hollywood Brown, who, to my understanding, is probably going to miss the first 2 weeks, definitely week one, probably the first two. And you have Xavier Worthy. And you have the ability to have both of those guys. And, oh, Mecole Hardman, by the way, is also on the team. But you have the ability to go downfield, which was a big emphasis in training camp this year, which also will make life easier on your aging tight end, who's still incredible, and Rashee Rice, both of those guys operating in space underneath. They think they can really attack defenses in a more complex way than they did over the last 2 years, which, in my opinion, is a little scary. They go pick up Samaje Perine, who the Denver just ended up releasing, and another back into the mix of weapons for Patrick Mahomes that they will use probably in the passing game, which he's really great at, and he made a lot of big plays against the Chiefs over the years. That's why they grabbed him. I just think they might be in a better position than they were a year ago, which is the scary aspect, because when I asked about Mahomes at camp, I just said, how's he looked? And they were like, otherworldly. So there you go.
Yeah, I mean, him saying, you know, it'll get handled when it gets handled about the whole Kermit Gate thing, you know, like it just seems to be about him, enough of a chip still on his shoulder here, whether it's manufactured or not, fourth, you know, best player in the NFL as voted by his peers, and the guy who he's won back-to-back championships without is number one, you know, like it just seems that there's that. And that, just in the same way that Brett Veach hit the crap out of the line after they lost the Super Bowl, they realized what they had last year as a deficiency, and they won in spite of. It looks like they hit that. I mean, and that Sky Moore, maybe he can actually take a step forward rather than a step back like he did last year.
Yeah,
but that might be it here.
Yeah, and I think they've protected themselves, Rich. I think the Juju signing shows, I mean, we're going to probably have a suspension with Rashee Rice at some point. The last I talked to the Chiefs, they had no clue, whether it be at the start of the season. Sometimes those things happen, I don't know, this Friday. It's happened in the league before, but I'm not saying I know anything. But that's that they're protecting themselves, and that's kind of what Juju would do if they lose Rashee Rice for any stretch of this season. They have multiple deep threats. They think they're better at tackle than they were last year. They didn't think their tackle situation, especially that left tackle, was a really good one last year. They think they've upgraded that. You mentioned the interior of the line. Like, it's one of the best interiors in all of football between center and both guards. I think what we do want to keep an eye on is in December, where they play a boatload of games in a short period of time. And if they can stay healthy through that, that really, to me, seems like the only deterring factor of their season is I think they play three games in, like, what is it, like 10, 11 days? To me, that's the only really difficult thing we got to keep an eye on.
When do we see you and Steve Smith do your new show?
Right, James? When the season starts. Steve's gonna, I think, enjoy this summer of golf. I don't know if you follow his socials, Rich. He is on the links repeatedly. He texted me this morning. Sorry, I went to bed, because I texted him last night. Sorry, I went to bed early. I played 9 holes in the heat. I was exhausted. He's playing golf every day, so we're going to start when the season starts.
So what's the show called? The Red Ass and the Hair? Well, what's it called, James?
That's the other part. It's called 89, so your boy's not really getting represented all that much.
James, what's up with that?
Well, yeah, I think it should be like 89 and something. I don't know. We'll still see if the graphics department's finished working on everything yet. Maybe we can slide something. Text me, Rich. If you got
No. I'm gonna leave that to you. You're in your new spot. Okay. You got to take care. You handle that how you see fit. There is an eye in Smith and Senior. So
there is.
You got to be careful.
James Palmer has zero of them. Yeah.
Well, send my best to Steve and everything else that you're doing with Underdog Fantasy. Congrats on it. I was thrilled to see that news and. Appreciate you coming on today, James.
I appreciate you, Rich. This is awesome. This felt like old times.
Okay, excellent. Terrific. Thanks for the Zoom here. That's James Palmer. Everybody check it out. Senior sports reporter for Underdog Fantasy right here on the Rich Eisen Show. There you go. All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, Mike Tomlin, head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. This will be fun.
Let's go.
All right, here we go. To break. Let's talk DoorDash, people. If your family's like mine, it probably is. You want something to eat, your kids want something else to eat. How do you handle it all? How do you make sure everybody's happy? DoorDash, that's how you make sure everybody's happy. The food delivery app is the most awesome on-demand delivery platform that you can go get to make sure that food comes to the places you like right to your table. It's awesome, especially now that football's finally back, which means it's time to order your favorite game day food, snacks, and drinks on DoorDash without missing a single play. And here's how I can help you. Use my promo code, RICHEISEN24, for 50% off up to a $10 value when you spend $15 or more dollars on your first order. Limited time offer, terms apply. Promo's not valid for orders containing alcohol. DoorDash, your door to game day greatness, your door to more. Download the DoorDash app now to order your game day favorites and use my promo code RICHEISEN24. Must be 21 or older to order alcohol. Drink responsibly. Alcohol available only in select markets. This episode is brought to you by FX's The Old Man, starring Jeff Bridges and John Lithgow. The hit show returns as the stakes get higher and more secrets are uncovered. The former CIA agent sets off on his most important mission to date, to recover his daughter after she's kidnapped. FX's The Old Man premieres September 12th on FX. Stream on Hulu. Hey, everybody, you know we're living in a new age of football with the expanded college football playoff, NIL, conference realignment, and increasing popularity of the draft. The landscape is changing, and it's changing quickly, and it can be confusing, but you know you're still into it. That's where the new podcast, The Triple Option, comes in. Each week, Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram, host Rob Stone, and three-time national champion coach Urban Meyer team up to bring on the biggest guests in college football, pro football, and anything related to the culture of the game. They cover it all, from top stories to recent changes and shifts in the game, the culture surrounding it, and everything in between. So get in the game today. Follow and subscribe to The Triple Option on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Triple Option on YouTube as well. New episodes drop Wednesday mornings.
What would it mean to you to win an MVP award? What would it mean to you? I know you're Hawks. I know you're about the team, but what would it mean to you, do you think, for something?
Well, I think anytime anybody wins an MVP, the first thing that I think about is that means that team's winning, right? That means that team's doing a great job of winning and doing everything you can. I think also, too, that's my number one objective, is to be the greatest winner of all time, try to win as many games as possible. In the Super Bowls too, and so that's if I'm playing my best, I think we got a really great chance of doing something special this year, and I think the rest of the guys too. And so it's a team effort. This game is so special because it's such a team effort. Everybody making their plays. Guys like David Moore making that amazing catch in the corner, and tiptoeing in the sideline, moonwalking into the pylon. That was just those are the kind of efforts and team moments that allow players to do special things. And I think, you know, I got to credit my teammates on that. I think more than anything else, though, you know, for me, what it means is just that, you know, all the off-season work, all the training, all the time that you spend, all the focus, all the hours upon hours, all the flights that, you know, and things that you've done just to, you know, sit down one-on-one with somebody and talk to them about, you know, the game of football and, you know, and just spend some quality time with people. I think that's where those moments really show up, I think. And I think that all that hard work and all the time trying to throw in a bucket when you're a young kid, you know, it all makes a difference. I think more importantly, though, is I want to win this week, you know, and take it on, you know, and just stay focused and do that. I know that's what it takes to be great, is to stay in the moment, stay neutral, not to get too high. You know, I have high expectations, so I already know what those expectations are. So it's nothing new. I just got to stay neutral and stay in the moment.
Multiple appearances by Russ in the history of this show. Check it out on our YouTube channel. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Mike Tomlin getting set to sit down. Looks like they're blurring his background too, guys. Like I'm just trying to set the screen, set the scene.
I can see the check-in.
You can see the check-in also.
He has not sat down yet.
So the Patriots are saying, the news out of Boston is that tomorrow is when Gerard Mayo will...
Yeah, Gerard Mayo has said he's made the decision.
Oh, he's made the decision. Oh,
we have this. But he has not informed the players yet, and that will come tomorrow.
Okay, so there's that. And we'll hit that later on our program. So Gerard Mayo has said this, okay?
Yes.
All right, we've got that.
Coach has taken his hat off.
Okay, is he really?
Yeah.
All right, well, that's fine.
They're getting the,
you know what? I'm fine. I mean, no hats are required.
They're getting all the settings.
You know, on the Rich Eisen Show. You know that? So we'll he's sitting down, his background's blurred, he's smiling. We're gonna get this thing framed up properly. We're gonna bring him on in a second right here. Is he ready? So the news out of Pittsburgh, the Steelers put on their Twitter account that the new head coach, the new quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers is Russell Wilson. And you know the old saying, as Coach Tomlin has said over and over again, if it's on Twitter, it must be true. And joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show is the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Mike Tomlin. Did I quote you accurately, Coach? Yeah?
Hey, you always quote me accurately, Rich. I appreciate you.
So, because if the Steelers, if at Steelers has tweeted it out, it's got to be factual. Right.
It is gospel, brother, I promise you.
Okay, so, confirmed. Walk me through your decision-making process that led to Russell Wilson being your week one starter.
You know, it's been a challenging and good experience for me and for us, to be quite honest with you. Going through it and really, as we got into camp and really got competitive, it became evident that the decision was going to be difficult. You know, Justin's talents are more than I anticipated, particularly his mobility, the things that he can do and create. That was really exciting. Russ's deep ball is even more impressive than his reputation, and I've seen it for 10-plus years or more toward 15 years in the National Football League. To be around it every day, it was really exciting. And I think that those are two examples about what made it challenging. It was challenging because of the things that they're capable of doing and how they conducted themselves. In a positive way, as opposed to being challenging because of the things that they lack. Sometimes you're dealing with two candidates, man, and you're choosing the best of two unattractive options, if you will. It became very evident early in this process that it wasn't going to be that. And when you're in my position, man, that's a good problem. We had two capable guys, two guys that we're excited about their skill sets, two guys that we're excited about how they conduct themselves. As professionals and as men, and it played out in that way. And so I'm really comfortable.
How much did Russ's resume and also his years of being a veteran put a thumb on the scale here for you?
You know, I think it does in terms of him, not in terms of the decision maker. I don't think that you can have the experiences that he's had and it not show in how you play. The moments can't be too big for a guy that's been at it as long as he has and has seen the things that he's seen. He's had that confetti rain down on him. It's not speculation. It's not dreaming for him. He's lived it. And I think that when you experience things in this game, be it a player or a coach, a quarterback or a head coach, I just think it's benefit in having lived and have seen it. And certainly the high floor component of it puts you at ease from a decision maker standpoint. But I think the real significant advantage of his resume is probably in him.
And do you have conversations with him about where he wants to go to fill out his resume here? You don't have to have our heads in the sand here. You know, there's a place in Canton that he had a charted course for with his years in Seattle. And this opportunity, certainly for your vaunted franchise and fan base, for him to succeed with you here, he can put himself back on that track. Do you have those conversations with him openly with this opportunity?
Certainly. And it was a real component of us getting to know one another. To be quite honest with you, man, I want to be around guys that are driven. I fear satisfaction. And so, like, that was the first question that I had. Guys like him aren't hungry. You know, hunger has been met. You better be driven. You better be in search of something. And he is. And I quickly got comfortable with that understanding as I've gotten to know him.
How much of that conversation are you willing to share with me right now, Coach?
Man, we can talk about Rich, whatever you want to talk about.
No, because I'm fascinated by it, because it's serious. Like this is his, you know, livelihood and his legacy. Like, this is a legacy question we have right here.
I think for me, it may have come from me first. Like, you know, what's your motivation? What drives you? What brings you here? What are you trying to get done here? Like, I don't have time to beat around the bush in terms of getting to know him professionally or getting to know any of these guys professionally. I just think in order to lead somebody, man, you got to kind of understand what motivates them, what drives them, where are they at in the short term and the long term. And so those are some questions that I got to immediately in our first conversation. And he was not resistant to them at all. His answers, quite frankly, were music to my ears. He talked about a guy whose better days lie ahead, who's excited about the challenges that lie ahead as opposed to his resume. You know, that resonates with me. I can relate to that. I don't care about my resume and the ground that I've covered. I'm excited about 2024. And he made that really evident that he is as well.
All that said, and again, I don't mean to telegraph anything to your friend Raheem Morris, who you're seeing in a couple Sundays from now. Is there a Justin Fields package still, do you think?
Hey, my friend Raheem Morris better be ready for a Justin Fields package. I'll just say that.
Okay. So Fields won't just have an earbud and a clipboard, is what you're saying here.
You know, I don't want to disclose any strategic approaches, but it's probably too much talent to be sitting around watching all day. You know what I mean?
I do. Mike Tomlin here on the Rich Eisen Show. What about up front? Again, you know, you had Nate Herbig come down with a season-ending injury. And, you know, when you draft somebody like Zach Frazier in the second round, you might not be sitting here thinking, that's my starting quarter, my starting center for Russell Wilson in week one. But sure enough, that's the way it is working. What about his readiness, Coach?
I feel really comfortable with Zach. Zach is not a young guy. Zach had an extended career at West Virginia. I think Zach is older than Broderick Jones, for instance, who is our second-year tackle. And I think it's reflected in how he conducts himself and how he plays. He hasn't performed or behaved like a rookie. I'm getting a solid level of comfort with what he's capable of doing. Obviously, you don't get a chance to do it until you do. And so I'll say final analysis for when we come out of Atlanta, but I have no fear regarding his capabilities or how he's going to behave in those circumstances. I've seen enough of him in this process that's not on my radar in terms of angst or anxiety.
Well, and as you know, in terms of angst and anxiety amongst your fan base, the offensive coordinator has been certainly front and center. Arthur Smith has been brought in here. Why him? What spoke to you about him, Coach?
You know, just how competitive it was when we played against him over the years. You know, in Tennessee, man, we had some knockdown dragouts with that group. I just always respected his approach to business, his utilization of personnel, his diversity of schematics, you know. And then when I met him after he became head coach in Atlanta, we had an opportunity to come across each other at various league functions, owners meetings and so forth. And just the brand of ball that we desire to play here in Pittsburgh is aligned with his philosophical approach. And so we don't have to sell him on anything. He doesn't have to buy into anything. It just is. The brand of ball that we desire to play is in line with the brand of ball that he has played and he aspires to play. And so it made it really comfortable.
And so basically what we saw in Tennessee, is that similar to what we're going to basically, I mean, it hasn't changed, obviously, in Atlanta as well. I'm just trying to give Steeler fans a little frame of reference how this might look for you.
You know, I think regardless of your coaching approach, you better utilize your people. And so it's not going to look exactly the same. It's not going to be the same as it was in Tennessee or Atlanta, for that matter, because the tools that he has to work with are different. And that's something that I expect, to be quite honest with you. You know, we got a skill set here, whether it's individually or collectively, and I expect them to maximize it, to lean on our strengths, to work to minimize our weaknesses. And all the situations, the scenarios are a little bit different. And so, no, it's not going to look like Tennessee, man. Derrick Henry plays for Baltimore, not for us. But we got a pretty good running back group. And so I expect it to be effective, certainly.
And you got a pretty good former Raven sitting there in the middle of your defense to try and stop it. What you're already smiling about Patrick Queen. I could see he's your type of player, Coach.
Man, I love Patrick Queen. I can't believe Patrick Queen plays for us. I smile every time I hear his name, because I've seen firsthand what he's capable of as a young, talented player. He's got the combination of youth and experience. I mean, this guy just turned 25 here a couple weeks ago. He's never missed a game in the NFL. He's got youth and experience. Man, he can do a lot of things. He can run and cover and blitz. And, I mean, it's really exciting to have a defensive quarterback of his caliber with his experience, but also his youth.
And T.J. Watt, can you tell me your favorite story about him? What is it? Was it the first time you laid eyes on him, or the first time he started doing Watt-like things? I just want to give you the floor on somebody as special as T.J., Coach.
Man, I could talk all day about T.J. Watt. You know, probably a story that's kind of indicative of him is we flew into Madison, Wisconsin the night before his pro day. In an effort to get to know him, you know, you take him out to eat. You know, we had some other people there, but really, you know, I was there to kind of get a feel for him. And it was really fun and cool that he was really annoyed by the whole process. You know, he didn't want to chit chat. He wasn't interested in getting to know me or me getting to know him, man. He just wanted to go to work. And that's kind of indicative of TJ, man. He is blue collar in every way. What you see is what you get. He does not have time for chit chat, man. There's an urgency in that guy that's really contagious, man, and fun to be around. You know how sometimes somebody can show you a lack of personality and it becomes personality? TJ was not interested in getting to know us and us getting to know him. But having gotten to know him, obviously, over the last 7 years, man, I just really appreciate that about him. He's on go as it pertains to football. His level of intensity and urgency in all football settings is unimaginable. Those of us that are around him day to day, we're not surprised by the things that we see in stadium, because we know the approach.
Well, Mike Tomlin here on the Rich Eisen Show. I'd be remiss if I didn't use my remaining time with you for a couple competition committee questions. The conversation about the kickoff rule, the new kickoff rule, and the I guess closeness to the vest that we saw in the preseason. A lot of folks are wondering if the 30-yard line for a touchback is not punitive enough. There's been a conversation about moving that ball up to the 35. Folks like you, in a game situation, you're up by four after you score a touchdown, 2 minutes to go. Certainly with your defense as stout as it is, screw it. Just kick it through the end zone. I'll play 70 yards, and that's not as punitive. So what do you think? What do you think of this subject matter?
Yeah, that is a legitimate discussion, and I see all sides of the argument. But I think in terms of the concept and how new and dramatically new it is, I don't think an out is that such as that is necessarily a negative thing. We all moved into this thing, and we moved into it rather quickly, into some uncharted territory. And to me, that touchback with the ball spotted at the 30-yard line is probably an appropriate out. If we at all are uncomfortable with the trajectory of this thing, or we don't have enough familiarity with it in the most significant moments, you know. And so that's my attitude regarding it. I'm excited about the new concept. I don't live in my fear. I live in my hopes. And so we've stacked our chips appropriately in that regard, man. I'm excited about C. Patterson, man. We went out there and signed him about 10 minutes after that rule pass, for example.
Yeah, that's because that's got Cordarrelle Patterson written all over it. You know, he just creases one. He creases one spot and off he goes one-on-one with the kicker, and that's a wrap.
I'd like to be a part of that history. You know what I mean? I've seen that from afar over the course of his career. I'd like to be a component of it, to be a part of it. But in terms of spotting the ball at the 30 or 35, I think all of those things are debatable. In terms of where we are right now, I see the rationale behind it, because this is an unfamiliar play, and that's probably an appropriate way to get out of an unfamiliar play, largely for all of us, if it gets uncomfortable in any way. You'd hate something new and dramatic to decide the outcome of significant games without giving those in charge an appropriate out to maybe avoid that if they so choose.
And would you be up for if it's touchback a palooza through the first 2 months of the season, switch the rule middle of the season, or no? That doesn't happen.
I'm not into switching rules midstream. Just philosophically speaking, I think it messes with the competitive fairness of the game. Some people have bye weeks early, some people don't. You know, I just think that midseason rule changes, man, are taboo. From my perspective.
Okay. And then let's talk about you a little bit here, if you don't mind. Did you get anybody knocking on your door during the playing season and when you sign your contract to extend in Pittsburgh for TV, media? Anybody knocking on your door for that, Coach?
Hey, people knock on my door all the time, man. But believe me, if they knew me, they probably wouldn't. I am no threat to you, Rich. I promise you, man.
but my head's not on a swivel. You know, I'm fine. But I'm just wondering, you know, if that doesn't interest you at all, right? At all, that concept for you.
It does not, because my takes and outlook on things is probably not most people's cup of tea. I have no interest in being entertaining or bombastic.
Well, no, it could be straightforward information like that may, you know, the grind of coaching. I mean, you've been at this a while, despite your boyish looks, hey, Mike,
you know how your space is trending, man. You gotta be controversial. You gotta have hot takes. You gotta be bombastic. And I just refuse to play ball in that way. That's not my style.
And you still wake up the same day wanting to coach? Same day, just like every day, just like week one, year one, day one for you right now?
I'll tell you, Rich, man, I got better clarity, man. I'm a first-time empty nester. My daughter is a freshman in Athens, Georgia. And so, man, I feel more hyper-focused than ever before, man. I'm fathering from a distance now, and that's not as intense as the daily routine of having kids in-house.
Okay. So then if you don't mind, I'm going to utilize my last minute with you for help on a disciplinary issue I have in my current house right now, Coach Tomlin.
Oh, I love it.
Okay.
Let's get it.
All right, here we go. So on yesterday's program, the great Carl Anthony Towns was here. He's an Eagles fan, so he's wearing a Jalen Hurts jersey. Showing you this photograph of him with, that's me, obviously, and that's Chris Brockman, my colleague to my to my left.
What are we doing here?
No, this is what we're doing. Chris is on his tippy toes to look taller than he is, to look taller than me and closer to Carl Anthony Towns. How do I handle this situation, Coach? How would I handle this?
You know, sometimes you just got to let them live and let them fail to better learn the lesson. And so I give them a mulligan on that one. He'll run into something down the road that educates him that he just needs to be himself.
Right? I mean, you are who you are, right? You're as tall as you are. Like, that's it. You have to be yourself, coach, right?
It's no doubt, but I think if he keeps living, he's going to learn that. You don't have to educate him. Let him figure that out.
Yeah, let me live, Rich.
So this is not a disciplinary situation? No warnings, no calling into the office, no nothing like that? I don't do that?
I mean, it certainly could be if you so choose, man. Sometimes I thoughtfully kill a mosquito with an axe for no reason, you know? But I don't certainly think it's required. I just think it's funny.
Okay, very good. Very good. I just want to, again, because I'm as tall as I am. I'm fine with how tall I am. Doesn't matter that, you know, Carl Anthony Towns is damn near 7 feet. But, okay, I just want to make sure I'm handling this properly, and I just wanted to have a lead pipe-wielding professional such as yourself give me some sort of insight. So I greatly appreciate that, Coach. Thank you.
And always here for you, sir.
Oh, and by the way, before I let you go, how's my Wolverine? How's Roman Wilson looking? How's my Wolverine? Coach,
hey, he's doing great, man. He ran on land today, man. Good. And so, you know, he's pushing back closer toward health. I like him a lot more once he starts making plays.
Okay, I look forward to that, Coach. Thanks for the time. Always appreciate it. Good luck week one, and look for more of my calls. I'll see you soon.
Thank you, Rich. Sincerely, man, just got a lot of respect and appreciation for what you do. All the best to you guys.
Thanks. Right back at you. That's Mike Tomlin, the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, giving us insight and, for me, a little bit of advice on how to deal with somebody who's faking. He's heightening right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
I don't know why you're concerned with it whatsoever.
I actually used Real Estate with Mike Tomlin on that.
I mean, you really did.
Yeah.
You did.
That was a choice.
I think it, probably in the middle of the night, you're going to wake up and go,
why'd I do that? Hey, he still offered respect to me after I...
Out of respect.
I'm just playing. You know, I love stuff like that as much as the X's and the O's, just to kind of get the human aspect. So, you know,
he's not bombastic.
Bombastic.
He doesn't want to be entertaining or bombastic.
Yeah, twice. Too bombastic.
Call me Mr. Bombastic.
I don't know. I was thinking Shaggy in my head. Right?
It's Russell Wilson, man.
We kind of knew, right? But the most important.
Until it's not.
The most interesting thing, we're going to see Justin Field on.
How about that?
Yeah, I tweeted that.
I'll tell my friend Raheem.
Yeah, I tweeted that quote.
Be ready.
That quote out right away.
Be ready.
Justin, and I love
that. I love that. You know what? We're going to let the chips fall where they may on this kickoff rule, you know, and we'll see how it goes. You know, if there's a bunch of touchbacks, we'll see. But we signed Cordarrelle Patterson within 10 minutes of the compensation committee forwarding it, and the ownership passed it. We signed Cordarrelle Patterson on the spot because that is exactly
that was pretty funny.
The guy that teams will kick right over the head. Seriously, man, you take a 4-point lead on the Pittsburgh Steelers with 2 minutes to go, and Cordarrelle Patterson is standing in that zone.
That's going in
behind
the end zone,
two groups of men that are only 5 yards apart, just 15 yards in front of him, and there's a kicker behind these groups of men, and that's all that's left.
End zone.
You're going to kick it to Cordarrelle Patterson?
Nope.
Hell no.
End zone.
You'll say, I'll play 70 yards on this team. Let Russ go 70 yards.
Factual.
Which is why, you know, would it be more punitive to say 65 yards? I don't know.
60? Make it the penalty for kicking it out of the...
That would be really strong.
For kicking it, you know, sideways out of bounds?
Do you hear the penalty for kicking it short is the 40? You got to kick it in that zone. And I love that. Walt Anderson came on earlier and said, you declare onside kick, you need to onside kick it. That would be a massive penalty.
I just don't like that. The onside kick is dead. No one's going to onside kick this year.
I disagree.
I think they will.
It's dead.
I think they still have to do it.
And if they do it, no one's going to recover.
But it's the same. It's the same thing.
Like, make it a play.
The fact that the onside kick has not, worked.
No,
has
that's
nothing to do with the surprise factor.
It's because they changed the rule. You can't load up on one side. Right. It has to be even now. They killed it slowly over the overtime.
Good chatting with Mike Tomlin on a day that they made news. Here we go. Hashtag 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll wrap up this show and let you know what's going on.
Bombastic.
On this tippy toe edition. Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist, and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate, a pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need, plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle. You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better, because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part, or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
So you guys don't have unique names.
What do you mean, see, you guys? What do you mean by that?
I'm just saying. There's no one saying, Tom Brady won the Super Bowl, I'm going to name my baby Tom. That's not how it works. Tom is too simple. Shaquille, Alshon, these are unique names that people will name their kids. I promise you. Steve, am I right or wrong?
Steve is not laughing. He's not looking at you, and he is leaving his phone.
Steve is a regular name.
Well, that's not
Steve. Is a regular name.
Steve is the name that folks can pronounce.
Oh, see, now Steve got another name.
Wow.
Steve, what's your other name?
My real name, which is three people call me, my mama, my grandma, and my wife, is actually Steve-on.
Now,
S-T-E-V-O-N-N-E.
Now, Steve-on. Steve-on. Stevie. Had you used that name? Had you used that name, right? You the legend you are. Had you used that name, do you know what would have happened? In any city you played in, everybody had a baby with a name, their baby, Steve-on. You know what would happen? You know what's up? I don't care what city you played in. Carolina, Baltimore, whatever city you played in, that city would have had babies with that name.
Santa Monica.
Every time you score a touchdown, they'd be like, I'm naming my baby Steve-on. Well, right? You know what, right?
Well, Steve-on. Coming on, Steve-on. Thanks for coming on, Steve-on.
You got it, Rich.
Even mentioning that name right now, a few light bulbs went off. This baby due tomorrow, man. Perfect. Hey, this baby is due tomorrow, perfect.
Y'all some dirtbags.
That cracks me up every time you play that video. Every time. Great show. Fantastic show. I want to thank Mike Tomlin coming on like that, and James Palmer and his hair, and Bruce Feldman in studio, and Walt Anderson. We were all over the map. And to wrap up this program, if you're trying to call in right now, nobody's answering. Because our call screener, Adam Chudwin, is out here on the floor.
Let's go.
And he's been wanting to do this. Good to see you, Adam. How are you, sir?
Good to see you, Rich. I remember last year at this point, I said I was cautiously optimistic. This year, all caution thrown to the wind.
Why not?
I'm all in. Yes. We're the preseason champs. We've suffered so many years.
Yes.
And we have the team. We have the quarterback. We've only had so many bad quarterbacks where you can lose your mind. The Craig Krenzels of the world.
We're here now.
Okay. By the way, first Craig Krenzel drop ever.
You're
rocking your Chicago Bears shirt. This is how old is this shirt?
I just bought it on Fanatics.
Fantastic.
Hey, we're back.
If you should have let us know, we would have gotten one for nothing. I don't know.
Maybe.
Bears.
All right, here we go. The Chicago Bears win-loss game with Adam, our call screener. Starting with the home date for the Tennessee Titans, what happens?
Opening game, Tickets are very, very expensive to this, for this game. I will be in Chicago. If any fans have an extra ticket, let me know. At H-Chudwin, C-H-U-D-W-I-N, I will be there. We get the win. Big first game.
You saying over and over again you want to play the win-loss game. Was it just purely so you could give out your email address to get a free ticket to the game?
Instagram. At H-Chudwin. I'll bring a cup from the back for somebody.
Then at the Texans.
That's a tough game. C.J. Stroud is who we want Caleb Williams to become. We lose that game, though.
1-1 at the Colts.
I don't respect the Colts just like the caller yesterday. We get the big win. Let's go.
The caller complained about the disrespect for the Colts and then said they went 5-12. Then he disrespected him. 2-1 home for the Rams.
Ooh, another tough game. I love the Rams receiving core, but I think the Bears get a big win here.
3-1 home for the Panthers.
This is the game where you really, really feel bad for the Panthers fans.
Wow.
They see what they could have had that they don't have. The Bears get a blowout win.
And that the Bears have, the and that the Bears have because they had who they have.
Yeah, something like that.
4-1 in Tottenham. Against the Jaguars in London.
Rich, I know you're an NFL employee.
I'll be calling that game. I want a close game.
We have to grow the game.
Yes.
I'm not a big fan of these European games, though. You have to wake up so early.
Oh, my God.
6:30 in the morning.
This guy.
Oh, poor Adam. Are you
awake? I don't get my beauty rest. It's unbelievable.
It's not the bitch about your wake-up call game. It's the win-loss game. What is it?
It's technically a home game for us. We get the win.
All right. Then you go into the bye. 5-1.
Wow.
Come out at the Commanders. 5-1.
Great matchup. You have the number one pick versus the number two pick in Jaden Daniels.
Right.
We get the win at Washington.
Okay, that's five wins in a row. 6-1 at the Cardinals.
This is the key game where we need to have Jalen Johnson turn Maserati Marv into Mazda Marv, and we blow out the Cardinals.
Mazda Marv. Jeez.
Oh, my God.
7-1, home for the Patriots.
Brockman,
let's watch the game together.
Seven wins in a row, 8-1 home for the Packers. What happens now?
Oh, God. 10 straight losses against the Packers. We have to win this game. And I think we finally do.
Okay, 9-1, that's 8 wins in a row, home for the Vikings.
That's another win.
9 wins in a row at the Lions to kick off Thanksgiving.
This is a very difficult game. The Lions are going to be a great team this year. We get the loss.
All right, the 9-game win streak is over, but you're still 10. Jeez, that's unbelievable.
You got caught
10
up.
And 2 at the Niners.
You've been caught up.
This is a really hard stretch. Another loss for the
10
Bears.
And 3 at the Vikings on a Monday night.
Ooh. Sam Darnold gets the best of us here. Another loss.
Wow, 3 wins, 3 losses after 9 wins in a row. Home for the Lions.
Revenge game, we get the win at home.
Okay, 11-4, home for the Seahawks.
That's a win.
I don't really 12-4 at the Packers. Do you sweep them?
No, we go out on a bad note. But I still think we make the playoffs, though.
And
we
have a great year. 12-5,
you make the playoffs. Yeah. Yeah. You're the number one seed.
Yeah. I'm so excited. I watch Hard Knocks. Shout out to Badgen's dad, who's unbelievable, the arm wrestling champ.
Yes.
And I loved Hard Knocks this year. And I'm excited for the season, Rich. I really am.
Bears.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. With a 9-game win streak in the middle.
Oh, baby. Adam, slow down.
All right. Good thing you revealed to me that my gummy jokes for the year are way off. That you haven't had one in a while.
Is Adam getting drug tested after the show?
No, he's not. No, he's not. As you know, Mike Tomlin just said, I got to let you guys be yourselves and learn yourselves about your own missteps. Yeah.
Well, that's going to change everything.
Is my record kind of like Brockman standing on his toes, essentially?
Dude.
Brockman, you haven't played this game yet, have you?
That's the fifth 12-5 prediction from a Bears fan in the win loss.
Wow.
I mean, there's an 11-6. 2 11-6 is a 13-4. That was Kyle Brandt.
Bears vibes are high.
And Sean in West Palm is the only Debbie Downer, 8-9. All right, brother. Thanks again.
Good stuff.
That's Adam Chudwin. I want to thank everybody for appearing on today's program. We'll be back to wrap it up on the Roku channel in a second. Hey, it's Rich Eisen here. Join me and my compadre, Chris Brockman, every Monday on the Overreaction Monday podcast.
A 2023 last place team will win a playoff game this year.
I'm taking the Cincinnati Bengals to be that team. If you gave me two,
safe bet.
If you said two last place teams, I might say that's an overreaction. Come react or overreact with us. This one makes it much easier. Very so fun. Thank you for making it easier.
Well, tune in next week.
Overreaction Monday, wherever you listen.